Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. First off, thanks so much for checking out this episode, making your way here. If you're not already, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll enjoy what you hear enough to keep up with all the interviews that we put out. A brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a really great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, just know what's happening in the music world. Again, you can find us at all the major podcast hotspots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, and YouTube, where you'll find the video version of this interview as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm talking with This Is The Kit. Kate Stables got a brand new record called Off Off On. So we're going to be talking with Kate about finding new sounds and playing against the folk type, the responsibility with ourselves and others, empathy, the human condition. Those are all themes that make its way into this this new album. And the power of youth leading the movements all around the world right now. In fact, there's a lot of talk about environmentalism, borrowing the earth from future generations, as well as Kate's need for solitude while enjoying being a traveler. We'll also discuss some of her hobbies outside of music, like pinhole photography and some cool merch that she's constructed to go along with this record that has to do with card decks. Really interesting stuff happening in this. So let's get into it and discuss this record Off Off On. It's Kyle Meredith with This Is The Kit.
Nice to meet you on here.
Well, first off, congratulations on this record. What a beautiful and complex and fun record. I think it's okay to say that as well on here, too.
Allowed.
I mean, yeah, this really does seem like a new level for you. In reading about, you know, a bit of what you've talked about so far on this record, I know some of that has to do with you teaming up with Josh Kaufman. I was curious because you said he got you to things you wouldn't usually do musically. And I figured that's a good place to start, because what are you exactly talking about there?
Well, just, I think he's just more open-minded than me. Or we've just maybe had different musical paths slightly at the same time as having similar musical paths. I guess as being a sort of a female musician that gets called folk, there's certain things that I flinch away from, like, you know, little triggers like acoustic guitars, flutes, glockenspiels, you know, things like that, that I'll just be like, nope, nope, not going to do that, nope. But luckily Josh doesn't flinch away from those things. And it means that the sound is richer and more interesting, and he's playing this beautiful music, and it's really great. And it opened up my mind and the sound and the album. And so I'm really grateful about that.
Those critical boxes that most artists get put in, and it is interesting to hear how sometimes an artist will react to that in their writing. I mean, do you find yourself purposely, outside of just the instruments, even how you write a song, do you find yourself going, no, because of that?
Not really, because I think if I have an idea that for a song, then it's an idea that I'm into, if you sort of mean. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, if it was something I didn't want to put in the song, I wouldn't have thought about it in the first place, if that makes sense. No, songwriting, I just do songwriting happens whether I like it or not, in whatever style I do. Like the other day I had an interview and someone was saying about how much they liked all of the nature that I sing about, and I don't feel like on this album anyway, I don't feel like it's very nature heavy. But again, because you're a folk artist, people just hear you talking about nature, even if you're not necessarily talking about nature. So I guess that might be the only area where I would maybe tweak my language a little bit. I maybe wouldn't start talking about trees and flowers as much, right, as someone who's less paranoid about being boxed in.
Well, the other side of it, and I'll hit back on something you were saying about Josh, about the different paths that you guys use. Do you find that that's helpful for you as a songwriter to have something to push up against, where it's not all like, you don't have a yes person there automatically? I mean, is that helpful to you to have that kind of budding?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just as a human, I think that's really important to have someone that kind of offers up alternatives. And then when you say, oh, I'd rather not, they go, actually, you will. And then you're like, okay. And then afterwards you're like, of course, that was the best decision to make. Like, it's really helpful, I think, to sort of question each other and then to compromise and then realize what a good choice it was afterwards.
Well, so if trees and nature isn't a part of it this time, I do apologize for the broad question here, but where did the inspiration come from? Did you see that it was coming, you know, from specific spots as you were looking for the lyrics?
Well, I guess, yeah, it usually takes me a while to work out what the themes are of an album, because I'm not someone that sets out with like a message, an idea, a vision, and then gets it done. I kind of write all these scrappy bits of song jigsaw puzzles, and then after I've kind of recorded it, I can sit back and listen and go, oh, look, I mentioned that again. Oh, and again. Oh, okay, right. I must have been thinking about that quite a lot. So I think with this album, there's a lot to do with sort of the responsibility for ourselves and for others. There's a lot to do with kind of empathy and our need to put ourselves in other people's positions and to stop just thinking about ourselves all the time. Well, I guess it's just another album about the human condition. But at the moment, things are in a bit of a state. So I think I talk about that quite a lot, about what a mess things are in and how it's kind of up to us to sort it out. We can't just wait for someone else to do it. And we can't just, you know, bitch at each other on social media. You've got to sort of get out in your neighbourhood and pick up some rubbish and be nice to someone, hold the door open and smile at the grumpy person in the post office or whatever.
Which is important. It is.
It's really important.
I think that comes up a bit too on, or at least I like hearing what you're talking about on Was Magician, because what I got, you know, again, from another interview and what I'm hearing in the lyrics here is really about this power of youth.
Yeah.
I think you've mentioned Greta Thunberg in previous interviews. But really, like, that's what I find does become more and more important, is, and it's noticeable too, you know. I'm in Louisville, you know, there are protests on the street every single day here for months now. And it is about the youth. It's about that fire of youth. What were you thinking about as you were putting that together?
Well, just partly to do with, well, now more than ever, maybe I just haven't been tuned into it, but I feel like now more than ever, there are real youth movements for like environmental issues, but also political issues. And, you know, these young people know that their future is heading their way and that everyone who's come before them have kind of messed it up in a lot of ways. You know, there's been a lot of doing things wrong, basically, since for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's time to sort of address that. And obviously it's not just up to young people to sort it out. It's also up to, it's up to everyone of all ages. But it's true that there's a line in Was Magician where I think I say, was now the business of the young'uns. And that actually was from when I was listening to an interview with Ursula Le Guin, and someone was quizzing her about what she thinks needs to be done about the state of the world and the environment and sort of politics and stuff. And she was, it was towards the end of her life, she was in her 80s, and she made a comment about how it's none of her business anymore. Like, she's done her time, she's worked hard at it, and now it's up to the younger generations. And that sort of really struck me. I mean, I'm not saying I totally agree with her or disagree with her, but I was interested to hear that voice from someone that's had so much life and experience, and kind of, she's with such a great mind and saw things and spoke about things so clearly and articulately. And so, yeah, that I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the older generations and their take on things, and then the younger generations. And again, this thing, like, we don't own the earth, we borrow it from the future kids or whatever, you know, from the next generation. And people forget that. They just think, I'm here now, I'm going to get as much as I can out of everything as fast as I can. And there's no long game. Like, the change we want to see happen, we probably won't see it in our lifetime, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. We shouldn't be like trying to make it happen. You've just got to, well, what is it? Like, the best time to plant a tree is 100 years ago, but the second best time is now. So we've got to get on with it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you team up with Greenpeace. I think you did a virtual concert earlier this year. I mean, like how involved are you on the environmental activism side right now?
Well, at the moment, not very much, because everyone's inside. I mean, yeah. But I guess not as much as I'd like to be. I wish I was one of those like abseiling rope access superstars that could just scale buildings and, you know, paint stuff. But I guess I'm kind of an average Joe like a lot of people, and I try and do what's within my skill set, whether it's turning up to a demo or just, you know, trying to support a cause that needs funding, or I don't know. I'd like to find ways of being more involved, more actively involved. But I think even, I guess we've got this idea about kind of environmental activism that is a bit daunting, and we think of people doing dangerous stuff and getting arrested. But even just, for example, like during the lockdown, I like started a garden in front of our building. And that, I think, if everyone could do that, it would be really great. Just take a bit of care and pride in your local community, in your neighbourhood, and keep doing it, even though people, you know, rip up the plants and go to the toilet and let their dogs dig it up. You've got to keep gardening for everyone, because we're all living together in these neighbourhoods.
Yeah, I mean, heck, the idea of just staying inside right now is an act of, I think, activism. So it's environmental activism on top of that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the fact that we're not traveling as much, not getting as many horrific aeroplanes as before is really great. I wonder what's going to happen. But yeah, I also feel like, well, it's hard, isn't it? Who's making us stay inside? Like, we want to stay inside and look after each other, and that isn't an active act to sort of care for each other and to be careful. But then it's risky when people in power start seeing that they can use that to their advantage. So we have to like keep an eye open and check that they're not, you know, taking advantage of us.
Yeah. I wonder if this is a good seg over to the first official single with This Is What You Did, because like, I hear about you talking how you, in one side, you thrive in solitude, but at the other side, that traveling and being amongst people is also very, very important to you. And I think you talk about this song being a bit of a panic attack of sorts. Is that the tie that brings this song in?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that is that's a nice observation, because it's true that we need solitude. Well, different people need it to varying degrees, but I need a lot of solitude. But I also am aware that I also enjoy being around people, and I'm aware that too much time on your own and in your brain spirals you out of control and makes you start thinking all these sort of negative thoughts and doubts. And so I guess that song's a little bit about that. Also, I think it's important to remember that often the times when we feel most alone are often when we're surrounded by people. Like, that's a tricky one as well. Sometimes it's not just about is anyone else there or not. It's like to do with how isolated you feel, even if you're in a crowd of people or whatever. So I think, yeah, this song was dealing with that a little bit. And also just the act of saying stuff out loud, I think, is really important. And then I find that when I've said something outside, I often don't out loud, I often don't think it anymore. All I need to do is say it, and I'm like, oh, I don't think that after all. Now I've said it. You know, it's kind of an exorcism of these sort of negative things. And I think it's important to speak about things.
That's a really good song. I mean, and that's, no, that's not a question, just full stop. That's a really good song.
Thank you, that's really nice.
But I just don't get tired of hearing it. I think, you know, that compliment goes through all throughout the record. I mean, even Coming to Get You Nowhere, you know, is such an interesting thing what you're talking about there, which I guess kind of goes along with what, because a song about being stuck, I mean, here we are, right? We're all in the waiting place on top of everything. So it's,
we're in limbo land.
On the outside of things, on the outside of this record, pinhole photography.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Because that's something that I see that you're doing. I guess you've been showing some pieces, right?
Yeah, it's true. There's a touring exhibition that is starting, I think, next month in the UK, that's of a lot of different musicians. And so it's exhibiting visual art that they make, because this guy Tucker, who's organising it, observantly noticed that people that make music sometimes make visual art as well. And so it's a really nice idea, especially at this time when we can't sort of tour with music, then touring with different forms of art is quite a nice way of still staying in touch with people. So yes, I have some pinhole photographs in that exhibition.
But what exactly is pinhole photography?
Yeah, good question. So pinhole photography is lensless photography. It's photography that doesn't use a lens. So you just have a tiny hole, and then the light gets into whatever camera you're using. And what's nice about pinhole photography is that you can just make your own cameras. You don't need to buy, you can, you know, manufactured ones, but you can just make your own cameras. And that really appeals to me. You don't need to buy stuff from companies. You can just get a box and make it into a camera. Yeah. And then it's a nice kind of process as well, just the slowing down. You have to choose what you're going to take a picture of. Then you've got to sit it there and stay still for whatever, 20 seconds, an hour. And it's a nice, it's kind of the polar opposite of all this sort of digital quick photography that's just speed, 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 speed. It's kind of makes you sit still and shut up for a bit.
Isn't, you're in Paris, right? Isn't Paris like the birthplace of photography? Am I remembering that right?
I don't know. I feel like there was a few people having very similar discoveries at the same time in different countries with slightly different methods or, you know, but I think there was definitely a few of them at it in France.
Right. Yeah, it seemed like that was part of the story there. I mean, maybe just a nice coincidence. Maybe it's in the air, you know, it's just
It's just a photographic place. I don't know. I don't know. It's just, you know, people working in that photography, wherever they may be.
These are cool projects. You do such interesting things. I'll quickly point out at the end here too, even with the merch that you're doing with this record, because the card decks look really, really cool. And instead of the usual, you know, spades, hearts and all that, you've got bones, soap, switches and scissors.
Yep.
Why? Why those?
Why? What are you doing? So they're all elements. They're all just lyrics picked out from the songs. So for the artwork for the album, I worked with a Bristol artist called Geoff Winterhart, who's really exceptionally brilliant. He's really talented. He does beautiful graphic novels as well as lots of other art and like video making and things. And so he was up for drawing stuff for the artwork, kind of based on some of the images and the lyrics. And so there's all these objects that he drew, and I picked four of them to be card suits. And it was interesting because a little while ago someone was asking me questions about it, and drew to my attention the fact that with normal card decks, like, each suit represents an element. And then that got me thinking about the suits I'd chosen and trying to work out what elements they were. And so that was fun. A bit of card history that I didn't know about. There's always more backstory with decks of cards. There's always like mystical stuff that you don't know about.
That fits into the record perfectly, because there is some kind of mysticism happening in your music. I don't mean to overpaint that and everything, but it is, again, it's so interesting what you do, and I certainly do appreciate it. And Kate, thank you so much for continuing to do that, especially for taking the time to talk about it today too. This has been
Thank you for taking the time to talk about it. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your questions and for mentioning the cards.
Buy the cards, people, because you can't support her on tour right now. Buy the merch. That's what you gotta do. All right, congratulations on the album, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
My thanks, Kate Stables. The new This Is The Kit record is called Off, Off, On. Thanks to you for checking out this episode before you get out. If you're not already, I hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all of the great interviews that we put out three times a week here. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, where the video version of this is, or wherever you like to get your podcast from, just hit that subscribe button. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of them at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.